Good morning.
Good morning.
I do have to start by saying in my church and in my culture, it's not a bad thing if I say something and you feel an amen, you're welcome to express it. Okay.
Amen.
Thank you. I feel at home now. I first want to thank you and thank President York for inviting this old Baptist trained preacher the privilege of sharing a word with my fellow students this morning. And it's my desire this morning to really encourage you as students with God's word. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, for I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy laws within my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Can we draw our attention to, I think, a very familiar psalm to most of you, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Psalm 40, and we're just going to look at the first three verses, but my primary thesis will be the first verse. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. The word of God reads, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he makes my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. The word of God to the people of God. I like to start with just a really quick story. There once was, you may have heard this before, there once was a little canary, and he was a happy bird. His songs would fill the house, and there would be just a lot of joy and happiness in hearing this bird sing. And every morning he would start singing, and he was singing till bedtime. So one day the woman of the house decided to take a shortcut in cleaning his cage. So she got her vacuum cleaner out, and she proceeded to vacuum up the mess. Some of you know where I'm going with this. The phone rung, and she ran to answer it, leaving the vacuum running. All of a sudden, there was an awful sound as the little bird was sucked into the vacuum. The woman ran and opened the vacuum and rescued the bird, but the trauma was too much for the little Tweety. He survived, but he never sang again. I guess that story is relatable to what David was experiencing. You see, it's easy to lose your joy and forget how to sing when you're in a place of destruction. And, well, anyway, this psalm has some dispute on just when it was written. Some scholars think it may have been written during the time David was running from and hiding from Saul. Others think it may have originated during the rebellion of Absalom. But either way, David is speaking about a time in his life when he felt trapped in a helpless and hopeless situation. And I know from personal experience of preaching and pastoring, sometimes we can find ourselves in that same place. So even though David was in a terrible time, he was a time of darkness and fear, God heard his cry and reached into David's pit and lifted him out. He tells us how the Lord lifted him out of the mire with a new song in his heart. I don't know about you, but waiting on the Lord is one of the hardest things for me to do. Because I know as a human, our nature is to go it alone. My wife often laughs at me when I'm stuck in a traffic jam. I'll get out of it and I might drive 10 miles out of the way and end up getting to my destination 10 minutes later. But I find it a problem waiting. Some of you can relate. Sometimes if you go to the grocery store and you're standing in line at the grocery store and you see this aisle looks like there's only one person in it, and you move over to that aisle, and then it seems like that aisle is not moving fast enough. As humans, it's hard for us to wait. So we have to be careful that we don't try to accomplish things in our own strength, and because we tend to want to take control of the situation ourselves. And you can say amen at that point. Amen. Thank you. But oftentimes it's not in our best interest to move ahead of God. And before I go any further, I want us to understand what that word wait really means. Webster's Dictionary 1828 gives a few definitions that caught my attention. One of them says to stay or rest in expectation, to stop or remain stationary till the arrival of some person or event. Now that definition hits home in my situation. My position of waiting, I have found in your waiting position should not be passive. You don't have to be stepping ahead, but in your waiting time should be a time of hope and a time of expectation. That's why David could wait patiently, because he expected the Lord to deliver him. Right? Oh, I got an amen. Hallelujah. I expect God in my situation now to provide for me. So I can rest with the knowledge that his provision will be better than anything I try to force on my own. Now, the second definition also caught my attention. It says to be ready to serve, to obey. Now, that forces me to ask myself if I'm ready to obey when God provides. Have I done my part? Have I prepared my heart and my mind to walk in obedience and with a servant's heart when God provides the answer? So again, waiting on the Lord is active. Psalm 130 verse 6 says, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. God has not and will not fail us. Listen. I worked and I retired from the University of Pittsburgh before I took on a position here. And I worked the graveyard shift, and I hated working from midnight to 8. I mean, I really, really despise it. But I went to work with the knowledge that each night, daylight would surely come. And many times, that was the only thing that kept me and got me through the night for real. When I would see the first rays of sunlight in the morning, that's when I knew that I survived another night. And I would soon be going home to get some rest. Now, the point I'm trying to make, just as I waited for the morning to dawn, noting that the morning would surely come, that's exactly the same with waiting and trusting in God. Beloved, God will appear. So It's all about preparing my heart and being ready to serve and expecting God to provide. It's knowing that God is already working on it behind the scenes, and that a time will surely come when everything is exactly the right position and in place for God to move. You know, something happens while you're waiting for the Lord. Let me even say it like the psalmist said it. When you're waiting patiently on the Lord, something happens. But I don't want you to take my word for it. Let's see what the Bible has to say about waiting. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen. Hear that word, strengthen? He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah said it also. He says he gives power to the faint. In him who has no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their what? Their strength. You see, when you wait on the Lord, something happens. You tend to get stronger because you're not looking on what you can do. You're looking and seeking the strength of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, we have to learn how to trust the process. And in trusting the process, we need to learn how to embrace it. David embraced the process. He said, I waited patiently. You can't wait. Well, most times you have to wait, but it's how you wait. David said he waited patiently because he embraced the process. All right. James tells us in the 5th chapter, 7th verse, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, in this text, James tells us something that I think we need to hear here in 2021. We need to hear this word from James. We live in a world that is constantly captivated by the next big thing. All you got to do is look at Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, iPhone 13, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, a new show, a new car, a new secret way of making $1 million. Everyone's obsessed with the next big thing and being a part of the next big thing. Unfortunately, that trend in our culture does not exclude the church. Christian culture seems to be no different. The next big thing in Christian music, the next big way to grow your church exponentially. I get emails all the time about someone who's figured out the secret to church growth. And of course, they mean merely numerically growth. And they're not paying much attention to spiritual growth and church health. We assume that God is working in this mighty ways. He's intimately linked to lots and lots and lots of people, and his attention is to flash and hype. You know what I'm talking about, the next big thing. Even in how we think about our Christian lives, as individuals trying to follow Jesus, it's easy for us to be caught up with the sensational tendencies and to look for hype over substance. We want to be excited more than we want to be faithful. We want things to go viral more than we want things to be silently obedient behind the scenes, whether anyone ever sees it or appreciates us or not. Now, Let me hasten. Sometimes my Baptist leaks out. I'm trying to hold on. It takes 20 minutes to get through the salutation in a Baptist church. Anyway, we find in these few verses that God did six things for David. It says he inclined to him. Can you just picture? I have a vivid imagination. Can you just picture God leaning over toward David and listening and then responding? He's a good father who deserves and he desires to help us. He wants to help his children. Sometimes what we most need to happen requires his work in a lot of people and places in addition to what he needs for us to do. Secondly, he lifted him up. David was in a pit. It doesn't say exactly what that pit was, but we know that it was a bad place. You ever been in a pit? In the pit, how do I want to say? The pit experiences says you're in a place that you can't get out of yourself. You need help to get out of it. And this pit was not just a regular pit in David's mind. The pit was mire. Or the pit was in a place that it makes you think of quicksand. The more you struggle, the deeper you go. So he was in a bad place. And if you keep reading this psalm, you'll find that God delivered him from this pit. And before the psalm was over, he was in another pit. In the pit, the second pit, it was because of the sin. But it doesn't say so much here. Anyway, David waited patiently, which means that he knew that God was going to deliver him. So you can't wait patiently unless you know the answer to something. When you know the answer, you can be patient. I know payday is the 15th and the 30th. I have to wait, but I can be patient because I know payday's on the way. And that's just what Jesus did for each one of us. He heard our cry and he brought us out of a pit. And you, I can't speak for you, but I know what my pit was. My pit was sin. And I cried out to him one day and he brought me up out of a horrible pit. This old Baptist hymn that says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted he. Now safe am I. That's what Jesus did for me, and that's what Jesus has done for you. Okay. Thirdly, he set me down. Isn't it good to know that God doesn't stop when he gets you out the pit? It don't do you much good if just to come out the pit and still be in the bad place. The Bible says that he took him out the pit and he set him upon a rock. That's a great place to be when you spend a lot of time in the mire of the pit. I'm here to tell you. See, and I realize today that our rock is Christ. He has seated us in Christ. He is the unshakable foundation of our very lives. What else he do? He established his steps. Now, this is a picture of God guiding and marking out the path for us. This in itself may well keep us out of many more pits. Not all of them. Because sometimes, like in Joseph's case, others will put you in the pit. Am I right about it? But God establishes our steps. He controls our destiny as we place ourselves in his hands. What a treasure. He establishes us. We were founded with faith. So the churches that were strengthened in the faith, and they increase in numbers daily. That's Acts 16:5. All right. Only got one more. He put a new song in David's mouth. You know, sometimes we sing a lot of songs, but more times than not, we're singing the blues. But he put a new song in David's mouth where David could sing the gospel. David could sing. He put a new song. He gave David a testimony to share with others. And the thing that impressed me the most about it is David's praise couldn't just be heard. It was seen. And it helped save others. So my brothers and my sisters, when it comes to Jesus, I hope you're not looking at the next big thing, the next big spurt, or some magical church as you go out and you get your degrees, looking for a magical church where clearly God is there, but nowhere else. The Christian life thing, this church thing, where we are building each other up in Christ. I depend on you. You depend on me. As Ephesians 4 puts it, it's a slow thing. It takes time. It takes patience. But it's well worth it. Let us pray. Give us grace of your Holy Spirit that we may believe what has been proclaimed to us. May we bring glory and honor to your name in all that we do as you conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.